Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
5 o'clock hour. It's Cofield and Company. Griffin back in the Finley Toyota Studios. Willie is here. We are in the Battleborn Broadcast Studios. Some basketball talk coming up with both Arash, Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas. We'll talk Lakers Clippers in about a half an hour. Coming up, though, Lady Rebels, Lady LaRock, going to the NCAAs on a consistent basis and kind of a new look team with some young building blocks and some veteran stars. So we'll get into that in less than five. Our Eye on Sports Gambling every day is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. Evan Abrams was filling a role today as the expert from Action Network. If you go in, you get an entree. You mention Cofield. You mention ESPN Radio. You get free dessert, the cheesecake. They get about five different kinds of cheesecake. Freaking dynamite. And Wednesdays for dinner special. Today is prime rib day. Wednesdays are prime rib day at Oasis. 24/7 breakfast. So make sure you grab that. And, of course, on Monday night, Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs. Party hard. On IG, look them up. Oasis Bar and Grill. Are you paying attention to the baseball?
A little bit, yeah.
Tigers?
How about the state of Michigan? The Wolverines, the Lions, the Tigers.
You're rooting for all the dogs, aren't you?
Well, I'm a Dodger fan.
Okay, so you're not. Not in that case.
But I would like to see. I think it would be cool to get both, to have three of the four finalists in the AL from the Central. The Royals, the Tigers, and the Guardians. I mean, why not?
Rough break for our JVT. John Von Tobel was filling in on the morning show. John told us a while back that he got a big free roll in a blackjack tournament at Circa, a World Series title free roll. I think it was 16 or 20 to 1 with the Astros. So they're out. It was for a lot of money, too.
Okay, I consider JVT a sharp.
Yeah.
Okay, so if he hedged.
That's a good point. We didn't get to ask him. I didn't get to listen to the whole show this morning, but I hope he made out. I hope he got something out of it. Kind of early to hedge, though. It's the only problem.
It was an elimination game today.
Oh, good point on the game. Okay.
I mean, right. JVT's pretty smart.
Okay.
Smarter than both of us.
Clearly smarter than me.
Yes.
You're not supposed to agree with that. Yeah, he is. I'm not always as sharp. I get confused on the betting stuff sometimes, even though I've been around here for like 30 years. I think UNLV's, the football program, their strength of schedule coming up, I think is pretty solid. But when you were looking at the numbers, you think this could be something that are voters that advanced that they're going to start looking at strength of schedule?
It's not the voters in terms of the polls. Let's not forget that when it comes to the college football playoff rankings, they do not take in consideration the AP or the coaches. That has nothing to do with it. It's metrics. And this
it has something to do with it because I think it sets the baseline at the beginning of who's going to be in range of the top 12.
Yeah,
and then the people on the panel.
Yeah, but it gives you an idea. But the people on the panel don't refer to that as much as you would think that they would. They're going to look at analytics and metrics more than they are a group of coaches and a group of media members. Right. So one of the sites that I visit and I appreciate their metrics is teamrankings.com. And I was looking at it. Their remaining opponents as of right now, this is their ratings right now. UNLV, first of all, UNLV, I think I saw them they were 49th of all the teams. I didn't even look at, I marked down all these other teams, but UNLV right now, they're 49th. They've hit a high of 38 and a low of 79 in terms of strength of schedule. Or excuse me, a high of 19, a low of 79. Their last ranking was 38 after last week, 49th. Okay. As of right now, based on this week's scale, the highest ranked team for schedule of strength that they'll face is Boise State at 31st. There's some low ones. 115th Utah State, 110th San Diego State, 118th San Jose State, Nevada 91st. This week Syracuse 84th.
I think if they take care of business the rest of the way,
Yes.
Even with a loss, they'll still have a better strength of schedule against some of those schools that are in lesser conferences. And if that is a factor, they'll be fine. Also, you know, margin of victory, dominance in this is certainly going to play into it.
100%.
Let's talk a little more UNLV sports and women's basketball and maybe some football with Lindy LaRocque, who's up with Willie Ramirez and Steve Cofield. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're having a lot of fun. Not everything's always fun, but we're having a lot of fun covering UNLV sports, and I wonder how much you're paying attention to what football is doing. Obviously, it's getting a lot of national attention. Have you been out to a game yet?
I haven't missed a game, so I've been to all of them.
I've been there. I saw Lindy there.
I didn't see her. So what do you think so far about the way they're playing and Coach Odom?
Well, first off, I mean, the leadership is tremendous. Coach Odom, I love him as a human. He's a great friend. What he's done with the program, he's a culture builder, and he's just a tremendous leader. I mean, every time I have a conversation with him, I feel like I'm learning something. So for me personally, it's not surprising to see their success because, you know, he kind of operates, I'd like to think, similar to what we do, of just setting the standard and the expectation high, and that's what we're going to do. And we're not going to settle for less. So, you know, I really enjoy rooting for those guys because they're great people. They do it the right way. And they've got, you know, obviously young men working really hard.
Yeah, I want to build on that. I've been asking a lot of people this question. Watching the UNLV football stars, they're mostly kind of baseline guys. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. A lot of them, when they score a touchdown, they just hand it to the official. Hey, that's what I'm supposed to do. I scored a touchdown. That's my job. They walk to the sideline. Odom is very much like that, where he doesn't get too high or too low after games. Is that a deal where the coach is spilling over on the players? Or as coaches, do you want to recruit players like that so they have a lot of that instilled even before they play for you?
Well, I think some of that is just sports, where a team a lot of times takes kind of a demeanor and identity of the coach, you know. If the coach is kind of wild and crazy, then sometimes you see players acting wild and crazy. So, you know, I think you imitate a lot of what you see, whether that's the culture and the relationships or even just like, you know, obviously the physical behavior. So, you know, I think that's he's very calm, cool, and collected, and the team seems to play that way too.
Lindy LaRocque is with us. Have you ever told a player, hey, maybe you need to show more fire and exhibit some excitement in certain spots? Maybe you're not into it enough.
No, I mean, you know, you love, like, you know, everyone kind of has their own personality with it, and some show passion in different ways. And, you know, I think obviously you remember Desi was very passionate last year, and you know, Kiara, for us, our point guard, she's not as demonstrative as Desi, but when she gets fired up, then everyone really, you know, pays attention. So, you know, I think everyone has their own impact a little bit.
Lindy, when you see what's taking place from a football standpoint, I can't imagine that there's that many, you know, equal or parallel issues with the Matt Sluka deal. But at the same token, when you see what's going on with transfer portal and NIL and it hits home here with UNLV, are there times, are there situations in other sports, but within the same institution, where you take a step back and dot the I's, cross the T's, and say, you know what, I got to make sure that I don't have that, or, you know, is that something that would be a concern for you?
Well, I think, you know, in any situation, you're always trying to learn from other people's, you know, situations or mistakes, so to say, or just what's being publicized, just to try to guard yourself from getting in the same situation. So, you know, I think in regards to our deal, like, I trust our guys, and, you know, and I have the back of the university, of the department, and, of course, the football staff more than anything, but you know, I think it just really shows the bigger picture of kind of how convoluted this, you know, the college sports, the landscape is getting with the NIL, with zero regulation really to it. You know, I think it just points the need to for some more regulating that hopefully, you know, that obviously the coverage went national and it was all over national news for a couple of days. It's died down now, but, you know, that maybe that's good, just, you know, to have some of this publicized, because, you know, it's a little out of hand.
We're not here suggesting that NIL stuff doesn't go on in women's basketball, because I'm under the impression it does, and that, you know, players are poached from, you know, different schools. I mean, how much of a minefield is it right now? How aggressive is it getting with women's basketball, trying to retain your players and then go out and work with NIL to get players?
Yeah, well, that's like, you know, it's infiltrated women's basketball just as much as men's basketball and football. So to kind of that answer that question first, it's a part of our game. You know, and how much you make it a part of your recruiting is up to, you know, the individuals in the program. It's not the number one thing that we recruit for. It's, you know, we're still doing our diligence to find the right people, the right families, the right players, that want, you know, the right things to try to protect our culture. 'Cause for me, that's what I think is sustainable. And then, you know, I'm for NIL, and I think these players, you know, deserve that and some of the revenue and all of those things. But I do think there just needs to be some guardrails to it, you know, so that it can be productive for both sides and not just, you know, who owns who in the situation.
Once again, speaking with UNLV women's basketball coach Lindy LaRocque. So let's talk about what's coming up, why the fans should be excited. Kiara Jackson's back, of course. But who you brought in and what you're excited with most that you've seen here, you know, with opening days of camp and the season right around the corner. I mean, we're less than, what, about 35, 36 days away, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, probably even less now. We're right in the middle of week two. Our first week was last week, so you know, we're 3 days into week two, and I'm really excited about our group. We, you know, we'll obviously feel a little bit different. Desi is, you know, an All-American for us, and, you know, was kind of the face of the program the last 4 years, really, and obviously she's graduated and going on to do great things that we're really proud of, but returning our starting point guard in Kiara Jackson, she led the country in assist turnover ratio, you know, averaging 38 minutes a game. So, you know, needing her leadership and we've got other great returners. So I'm really excited. We've got some new faces, a transfer from Eastern Washington, Aaliyah Alexander, that I think is going to be really exciting to watch. We've got two freshmen who are working like really hard. So, you know, this early in kind of the preseason era, they're making it really tough on me. I don't know who to play yet. So, we've got some time to figure that out, but you know, we have a really, really challenging non-conference schedule. So we've got to get ready quickly.
You know, one of the things that that Sandy Brundello, I've been saying this for about, I don't know, 14 months now. She mentioned last year about the Aces was, hey, it's the Aces and the rest of us. We have to play catch up. I mean, for a couple of years now, it's been the UNLV Lady Rebels and the Mountain West having to catch up. Who is it that you're kind of looking over your shoulder at? What, you know, how tough is this conference getting? And who do you see as your biggest challengers that you have to be careful of?
Yeah, I think the conference is getting better and better every year. You know, that's a little bit of, you know, referencing her quote that you mentioned, or just kind of like, you know, all boats do have to kind of rise together, even if it's one leading out in front. So, you know, Wyoming is really tough. They're always really tough. They have a lot of returners. Colorado State, you know, we always have great battles with them. They got a couple of key transfers that I think are going to be really impactful for them. You know, so, you know, if I'm kind of, these are the, you know, way too early thoughts. Is that what that's what you guys call them? But Wyoming and Colorado State, you know, for sure. And I'm sure there's going to be other people that have transfers or, you know, pull different things out that obviously we're going to prepare for and be challenged with.
Back to that non-con, how challenging was it to get better and better with a non-conference? And in that schedule, you're at Arizona, you got Oklahoma at home, you got a Thanksgiving Classic, you're going to Baylor, you got a Chicago trip. Did you get basically what you wanted with the non-con?
Yeah, I mean, you know, scheduling is hard. It seems easy to the fans or to the outside public, but scheduling is hard. And each year we've tried to get, like, harder, a tougher schedule to go along with hopefully our team getting better and better. And so I think this is by far our toughest non-conference. You know, SEC, Big 12, we've got, you know, Big 10, you know, we've kind of got most of the landscape covered, you know, home games, away games. And so we're going to have our work cut out for us, and it's going to be, you know, really challenging of just adversity of the travel and obviously the opponents. And, you know, we're not some unknown team that, you know, these schools don't know about. We're not sneaking up on anyone. And so that makes the scheduling hard, you know, to begin with. But then, you know, the games where our games are going to be circled on other teams' calendars, not just our conference opponents, you know. And so I'm excited to see how our team responds. And, you know, and I plan on only getting tougher from here. You know, obviously with all the different conference stuff, we have to continue to play national competition because that's where our program is headed.
Lady Rebels basketball is on the way. It's right around the corner. $75 is where the season tickets start. You can go to unlvtickets.com. I want to ask a little more about the roster, but first, what is going on now? I'm trying to figure out what's happening now in terms of publicizing. This used to be a big secret. I never understood that. The exhibition games or the scrimmage. Can we come see these games? Can you publicize them? What's the latest on this?
Yeah, they've changed some of these different rules. We're keeping ours old school, so we're having just our one normal exhibition game.
Okay.
Our 29th, I think it's Palma, so it's basically like a dress rehearsal. We want all the fans there, and you know, get everyone kind of pumped up, excited for the game. It's after that, you know, homecoming football weekend, so you know, we'll kind of get us a little dress rehearsal there, and then start the real thing the next week.
So you mentioned the mix on the roster. One, is everyone back healthy, or do we have any lingering injuries coming into the season?
Yeah, you know, late in the year last year, Jasmine Lott, she hurt her knee. So, you know, she'll take the full year to recover. So she'll be redshirting this year just to, you know, get her fully back, healthy, and ready to go for the following year. Kennedy Winfrey sat out last year, and so she's back in the mix. You know, and then, you know, everyone else is going strong. So we've got 13 on the roster, and then with Jazz out for sure, that leaves us with 12, which is, you know, we really need everyone, and that's what we're working hard for every day. So, you know, everyone's number is going to be called at some point this season, and you know, they're going to be ready.
Sorry to cut you off. So you mentioned Jackson's definitely a building block. I got to tell you that I thought the coming out party, and I expect big things from her, and I'm sure you want big things from her. I thought with Kimpson, late in the season, when you see a freshman at times, when you guys are clearing out and letting her go to create or, you know, get her shot, I mean, her upside is she looks to me like a next level player, and you trust her pretty early on.
As a next level player. Abarachi is big time. I mean, with the backcourt of her and Kiera this year, that's why I'm like, I'm confident in our guard group, and it starts with those two, and they lead the rest of them. You know, and so I told her this week, you know, she's not sneaking up on anyone. She's going to be on people's scouting reports on the front page, not the back page, you know.
Yeah.
So she's got to be even better than what she was last year. You know, she has a little bit, you know, the Robin to Desi's Batman, but, you know, she's no sidekick now. You know, she's kind of the main deal. So same with her. You know, we're going to be gunned for. And, you know, our players are going to be ready. And that's why, you know, we have a full surrounding cast. We're not just kind of a one-woman show. But Kiera, Amarachi, Alyssa Brown, for sure, those are going to be our leaders. I know they're going to be out there and they're going to play. And, you know, and they're going to lead us, you know, throughout the year.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate a couple minutes. Definitely want to talk to you before the season, and thanks for the time today.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on, and we'll keep cheering for football until hoops get started.
There you go. Plenty of fandom to go around. All right, we'll see you. There she is. Lindy LaRock. Kimpson's ridiculous. You know what happened last year? And it was, you know, sort of mirrors. Now, DJ Thomas played a bigger role than Kimpson, but I'm telling you, at the end of games, I mean, by the middle, it was really actually early in the season with DJ, where they'd be like, okay, we have to get something here. So he's going to have the ball, and either he's going to the hoop and scoring, or he's drawing, you know, doubles and triples, and he's going to pitch it out to someone. And they started using Kimpson the same way with the women's team Let me tell you, with the men, I think they've collected some pretty good personnel, and I think they've built more of a team than maybe they have in the past, and they filled different spots. What we've seen so far in just a couple of looks in official practice with DJ is a next-level attitude. I thought a lot of last year, you know, it's tough. You're 17 going on 18. You got, in some cases, 23 and 24-year-olds. You're used to being a guy who's, you know, he was a scorer in high school, but you're used to being the distributor. This is a different year for him. He's still got to distribute and set up people, but I think he's got to be looking for a shot and crush people off the dribble and draw fouls. And I think he's got that in his head because in practice he's scoring.
Yeah, and this is a perfect year for him to do that, you know, coming off of sort of a coming out party, but now with a little bit of confidence and a full off season of weight training and nutrition and sort of putting the building blocks on and the work that he's put in the gym. And like you said, now with the start of practices. So this is the year that he has to do. It's not like, well, he's got time. He's got, you know, no, this is a year that you sort of take over, put and staple yourself as the face of this program and let it build from there.
We don't have to make a bet on this, but I just wanted to officially look up his numbers from a year ago. What would you do for a sophomore year for points per game? All right, we'll take a break. We're both going to look it up at the same time.
Yeah, we're going
to
look it up.
I just said I'm looking it up. You don't have to look it up. Give me an opinion.
Settle your tail, man.
Come on now. He was 13-6 last year with 5 assists. He shot 45%.
How many assists?
5.1. 13-6 a game.
I'm going to go 15-1,
6.2. Okay. I think he'll score more. Okay. I think the team's going to need it. I think they've got more outside shooters, so he's going to have a chance to dish. And then we'll see what the development is of the inside guys. Rob Whaley's got to become more of a 27-minute dude per game, right? Stay healthy the whole year, which is not easy. But I think, yeah, DJ Dedon's role is going to be a lot bigger. He's going to be a lot more aggressive. And you know, you could see by the end of the season, no one could – there's only a few defenders who were able to stay in front of him. He can get to the lane whenever he wants.
You asked me what he needs.
Okay.
The initial question was, is he need, not what I thought.
So what do you think he's going to do?
I think he can probably average 17, 18.
Okay.
And he could if he wants to, you know, here's the thing.
Willie, I'm laughing because I was talking to someone today who follows UNLV basketball, and they were saying this kind of the same thing. I said, like, he's going to be more offensive minded. And they were like, well, you know, if he can go out there and average, you know, 27 a game, I'm like, all right, so, like, that 27. He's
right. Well, here's the thing. The high
tiny Archibald, though.
But the problem is who's his cohort in crime and, to also drive the assist, because this kid has the potential to drive the assist number up. So, and if he's putting in the points and he's got a cohort in the paint, a consistent, reliable guy, I mean, 17-7 would be remarkable. This team would be a threat with a consistent 17-7 from your key guy.
Let's stick on the theme of basketball. We'll talk some Lakers, some Clippers. Arash, Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Mr. Hawaii. We'll be in with Cofield and Company.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center on ESPN Las Vegas.
Wednesdays mean it's time for Arash Markazi. By the way, programming note, no Barry Odom radio show, which usually follows Cofield and Company, not this week. Back, we think, next week. Barry Odom radio show, 215 on Flamingo at Parkway Tavern. All right, Arash, Willie's here. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
We're good. There's a lot going on because the NBA is right around the corner, and I know you guys had heavy coverage with the Sporting Trib of Lakers and Clippers practice, the opening practice. It looked like you were around the Lakers, and we'll get to the Clippers in a couple minutes. Anything stick out with LAL?
Listen, I mean, the big thing with the Lakers, obviously, is, you know, Bronny James teaming up with his father, LeBron. I think everyone's kind of waiting for that moment to happen on the court, and then hopefully Bronny can go down to the G League, which is, again, you're not going too far. Some of these G League teams are in remote towns. I mean, the G League Lakers is the South Bay Lakers. They play their games at the Lakers practice facility. They're in the South Bay. They're, like, you know, so it's not like you've got to go too far. But and then J.J. Redick, you know, obviously first season of him as a coach, not just a head coach, but just a coach in general. They had a DJ, a live DJ at practices. So little things like that, Steve and Willie, make news this time of year.
Well, you know, we always talk about food. We always talk about drink. What sort of, is there a partnership with the Paul brothers and their drink with the Lakers?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, the Paul brothers, at least like Logan Paul and KSI with their drink Prime, I mean, they've done such an amazing job. I mean, that is the official, and I don't know if it's like the performance drink or how they label it, but they are the official drink of the Lakers, the Dodgers, and I know so many other teams, but just locally, as you know, Steve, you know, you once lived in Los Angeles. I mean, those are 1 and 1A, and then there's like a gap, and so like Prime is the official drink for those two teams.
Well, the Paul brothers are smart businessmen. And unfortunately, I don't know why I say unfortunate. I'm not rooting against them, but the SO loves that drink, so we have it in the house all the time. Maybe not a performance enhancer, but it's damn good because I think it weighs you down when you eat it. But do they have a Tommy's food truck at the Lakers opening practice?
So they did. The Lakers generally, and I think all teams, I don't know, but the Lakers in particular do a good job. After media day, they will serve lunch. So they had Tommy's, and you know what that meant. That meant chili cheeseburger, chili cheese fries. So a Los Angeles institution. So, yeah, listen, it was great to catch up with the Lakers, and then following that, we all got treated to some chili cheeseburgers and fries.
Wow.
Did I see somewhere on social media you posted Ike's? Was it just a reminder that you have a sandwich, or is there an update?
So Ike's and I were at a charity event for Candace Parker on Monday. So Ike's was there. He donated, I think it was like a $1,000 gift card, and I don't know what it went for. It probably went for half of it, which someone got a great deal there. So no update there. Just thrilled that I got the sandwich there. But, yeah, I think he donated a $1,000 gift card.
You seem to have this pull with Ike's giving sandwiches away, because if I remember correctly, Super Bowl Radio Row, anybody, all the media members could get a snack over at the Sporting Tribune booth. Ike's was there serving.
By the way, can I stop for a second?
Yeah.
Arash, can we give that sub place 53 free mentions? Let's have Arash get an NIL deal for himself with the sub place.
Well, I think he's repped by Schluka's agent.
Well, I don't. Which, by the way, Arash, I saw your jokes about Schluka. We'll get to that. But where? I'm sorry, Will. I didn't mean to cut you off. Where do you want to go with?
No,
friend.
He got a charity at the Candace Parker event. He had Ike's getting given away at the Super Bowl Radio Row. Pushing that Arash sandwich out.
Let's do it.
No, listen. I mean, listen. As you guys know, it is a great opportunity to get guests if you offer them free food. Depending on where the Radio Row is located, some of them don't have good food options. So if you can pry, I don't know what the right word would be, with free sandwiches. But then again, you got like the leeches and the mooches and the whatnot who come and they take like, literally fistfuls of sandwiches. And we're like, no, these are for the guests.
Well, call me by name.
By the way, like, Geist is opening in New Orleans before this Super Bowl, so the streak, the run will continue.
Well, my plan is I will actually have a vat of red beans and rice that I'll be making daily at the hotel, and I'll be bringing it over, and it'll be hot, but you can't do it by the fistful. You got to scoop it out and put it in a little styrofoam bowl. How about that?
I like that.
Right? We got to stay down home in New Orleans. All right, Clippers angles here. First of all, you know, more time in the new building. Also, interesting note, did I see that they changed the late night drinky laws for some of the places over at Intuit, where last call was like 2 o'clock? Is there something going on there where you might be able to drink until like 4 a.m?
This is a hell of a law, and it's not really getting the pub that I think it should, but mainly because it's only affecting such a small amount of people. But this really goes to show what you can get if you bribe the right politician. So, Indian Food Dome, if you are in a certain VIP suite, you could drink until 4. So, a law was passed, and the wording of this is amazing. Like, if you're in an establishment between this cross street and this, and that, I mean, they basically, it only affected this VIP lounge inside the Intuit Dome. I mean, the only question that I would have is that, you know, generally Clippers games tip off at 7:30.
Right.
They're done at 10:30. Like, even if your team wins, and again, I've been really lucky, like, over the years to get to know some people who've invited me to that kind of cigar lounge down in the, you know, the bottom of, you know, Staples Center. And so maybe you'll grab a drink or two. Like, no one's there past 2. Like, so I don't know what degenerate this law is for that are going to be drinking from 2 to 4 a.m. after a Clippers game. I am fascinated by this. Again, as you guys know, I mean, that this is not a problem in Vegas, but, you know, you cannot, not only can you not drink past 4, the last call is generally around 1:30 because, like, you're supposed to be, like, out of the door by 2. The fact that there's a place that's going to be serving drinks until 4 a.m. is wild.
This is like the early rebirth of a forum club. Doesn't it sound like that's what they want to build, you know, just for the VIPs, you come into our club, okay, here we go. Like, it kind of sounds like they want to develop that.
They do, but I'm just trying to figure out what events, truly, and I'm not trying to be facetious, like what this is for. Like, I don't think this is for a 7:30 p.m. Clippers tip, even if they beat the Lakers. And that game, you know, you tip at 7:30, it's over by 10, 10:15, 10:30 at the latest if it goes into double overtime. Like, okay, like, how long are you really drinking until 4 a.m.? So, like, maybe this is for, like, an award show. But even then, like, do you want to be drinking at the Intuit Dome or do you want to go to, like, the Hollywood Hills or something? It's an odd law. The fact that, like it actually passed is ridiculous. I think Gavin Newsom got a $1 million-plus donation from Steve Ballmer to make it happen, but very odd.
Once again, speaking with the CEO of the Sporting Tribune, the godfather, the mayor of Honolulu, Las Vegas, L.A., Manhattan Beach, Arash Markazi. Arash, it sounds to me like forget about the forum days of the past, especially Sunday nights at the forum. It almost sounds like they're trying to rival the Wynn Club at Allegiant party after the game.
I will say this, Willie, and so I went there for my bachelor party, and it wasn't as crazy as it sounds, but there is nothing in the league. It was weird to have it in Vegas. Like, I live here now, you know, but no, I mean, listen, there's nothing like the Wynn. Again, there is a Bootsy Bellows Club at SoFi Stadium. That's very chill in comparison. There is nothing like the Wynn Field Club. And again, the other thing is there's nothing like a National Football League game. So even if the Clippers have a big game and, you know, again, don't want to make any low-hanging fruit jokes here about them playing a big game. I mean, this is a team that hasn't made it past the first round of the playoffs since 2021. Like, I don't know of a situation where you're going to be partying past 2. And, like, who's going to be stumbling out of the Intuit Dome in Inglewood at 4 a.m.? It just doesn't seem like something that I would personally want to do.
Wait a minute. You had a bachelor party in Las Vegas and I didn't get a text?
I know. Listen, it was a very small I put in quotation bachelor party. I don't even think I told Steve this, so I'm going to break this news on the air. I was very on the hush-hush. We stayed at the Fontainebleau. I walked to the Fontainebleau from my house for the bachelor party.
The breakthrough, the olive branch. Are you shocked in any way that the Aces are having a really tough time here with the Liberty and could be out soon? And I ask you if you're shocked and what's happening right now.
Not really. But by the way, like, the man next to you knows this better than anybody. But I will say, just in generally speaking, and Becky haven't talked about this, it is hard to three-peat. I've been lucky during my career to cover teams that have won back-to-back titles. I did cover one three-peat championship with the Lakers. It is immensely difficult. Whether you got the sponsorships or the commercials or you're really living high on life, it is hard to compete against teams that have literally been built to defeat you. And so I do think, hope it goes 5. I do have New York winning in 5. But, you know, listen, wouldn't shock me if their season came to a close on Friday night. But, they, like, listen, A, this is an amazing run. And B, if it comes to an end on Friday, this is not the end. They have, in my view, the best player and the best coach in the league. They have one of, if not the best franchises in terms of surrounding this team with the players that they need. They simply, listen, when you win a championship, the other mistake you make is you want to bring the band back. You want to bring the band back, and you want to keep doing that until they lose. You have to improve. You have to evolve. And this team didn't do that. And listen, if their season comes to a close to who I believe, the team that I believe will win the championship this year, you know, check ball, and they're going to come back next season, and they will be competitive next year too.
Arash is with us. On your LA-based show, and I want you to pop the radio station that you're on, but you've got the stream going just about every night with the Sporting Tribune. I saw that you had a topic, college football Armageddon on 10/12.
Okay, so I'm getting married on October 12th, and it was a viral topic. You can Google it, or you can just look at the schedule. People said that is the craziest day in college football history. You got USC Penn State. You got Oregon, Ohio State. You got Oklahoma, Texas. You got Ole Miss, and Louisiana State. You got Tennessee, Florida. And basically, the gist of it was like, who would actually schedule a wedding on that day? There were jokes like, I wouldn't show up on my wedding on that day. Yada yada yada. Anyway, so that's the day that I'm getting married. USC Penn State's going to kick off at the Coliseum. I will be watching on television. And basically, the update was there's only two games that I care about on that date: Oklahoma, Texas, USC, Penn State. They both kick off at 12:30, so I'm not worried. Not that I would have been anyway, but right. But listen, no one, hopefully, in the party is going to be looking at their phone when I type it up.
I'm looking at my Google Calendar. I have the Avalanche on the 9th. I do not have to cover the Blues on the 11th. I do have the Steelers and the Ducks on the 13th. What I don't have on the 12th is any sort of – I do have it blocked off. It says Arash Ashley wedding.
And you blocked it off?
Yeah, it's across the top, but I haven't received – so it must be a real small wedding too, because I didn't get an invite for that either. I think what this
RSVP
is maybe this could be friendship.
We never got an RSVP, that's out of my hands, brother.
To what invite? This could be friendship, Armageddon.
For the wedding. No, you got.
I didn't get one.
Look at your Google. Look at your Google, or look at your email.
My email.
I bet you he didn't invite anyone from Vegas who works for the Sporting Tribune. All right, let's let's close on this one to go back. We never even hit on the Raiders and the craziness with Devontae Adams, but I want to know about some of the tailgate stuff that you saw. There were some cool pictures up at Arash Markazi. So what did you see out there?
Well, so there's this group. I don't know if you heard about it. The Raiders, you know, have these sort of mini suite tailgate, things. And it was great. And it was, you know, listen, I get it. You want to really get fans to come out, and because it is such a great product on television. So the tailgate experience was great. My fiance called it the Haas, and I said, Dave, I'm so proud of you. Thank you. It is the Haas. We're going to cross the Haas, and we're going to go to this tailgate, and we're going to have a great time. And so we did, and you had a lot of these, you had a pirate ship. You had, like activities. And by the way, the VGK wives and girlfriends, the Wags, were there with us in our suite, so we got to catch up with them. It was fantastic.
Wow. Always rolling with the VIPs. That's why I'm on. Arash, we appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys are the best. We'll talk to you soon.
You really don't want to go to this wedding on this college football, like, super day, do you?
I don't sit around watching college football all day on Saturdays.
For the show, you don't?
But no. No. And I would normally be tuned into a UNLV game, but I can't sit and watch, sit there for an entire Saturday. It just doesn't happen. Now I will.
Yeah, the big TV wall. What's it there for?
Slow your roll. I will pick a block of time.
Okay.
But from 9 a.m. till.
I didn't say I had to do that.
I just said I won't sit there all day. Then you cut me off. I will pick a block of time. And it's generally, it used to be the latter half of the day because I'd want to watch Pac-12 after dark. Now I watch a little bit in the morning and a little bit at night.
Do you like weddings?
Do I like weddings? I'm gonna. You know what? It's funny you ask that. Let's do it in a grab bag. I'll tell you why.
I want to know on the way back if you're at a reception and
I'll tell you,
and Arash and his SO, it starts getting emotional. Is Willie crying?
Check out Cofield and Company videos at ESPN Las Vegas on Twitter and follow us on Instagram. Search IG ESPN Las Vegas.
So we talked about this the other day. Frankie Valli, for some reason, a big hit now on TikTok. I sent you a video of Frankie Valli at a recent show, and he pops out, you know, after the beginning of that song, behind, like, you know, new Four Seasons, Five Guys. Yeah. And he comes out, and he's just not moving his mouth. And I'm addicted to these videos, but I feel so horrible about it. I just want him to stop. I want the videos to stop, and I want Frankie to stop.
It's sad.
Yeah. He's getting blasted because at 90, he's not really, you know, kind of doing the lip syncing thing effectively. But I did send you a video though of YouTube, probably from the 60s. He wasn't really an enthusiastic lip syncer when, you know, because the old shows they go on, they do it all the time.
Yes.
But he wasn't great at it back then. Is that enough of an excuse or?
No.
People are paying hundreds of dollars to go see him sing.
Because this one.
And this is Milli Vanilli, but kind of, you know, it's different, but he's not singing. He can't really move anymore.
Wait a minute. You cannot compare this lip syncing to Milli Vanilli.
No, because Milli Vanilli was never real.
Yeah, they were lip syncing somebody else.
Yes, right? They were never real.
Right.
They could never sing.
You know what I watched? It's funny you bring up lip syncing. This popped up on my phone today. And whenever I see this performance, I will always watch it because I remember where I was watching it live. Not meaning live there, but watching it on TV. Was the 25th anniversary Motown show in 82 when the Jacksons come out and then Michael Jackson by himself. So they did the Jackson 5 and they did it live. But then when Michael did Billie Jean and did the moonwalk for the first time that sent the world into a frenzy, that was completely lip synced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did we go in the bag? Let's go in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Arash is getting married in a couple of weeks. You're not invited. You've been snubbed at the wedding. If you did go to the reception, I think if it got like real kind of schmaltzy or emotional at some toasts and speeches, I think you'd cry. I would. I'd leak a little bit.
I wouldn't to others, but I get emotional at stuff like that if I give the speech.
Those are tough.
Now, the last wedding I went to, I actually gave a absolute hilarious speech.
Is that right?
Yes.
Were you told it was hilarious, or
here's the thing.
You like that one, Griffin? I gave a hilarious speech.
No, because Ricky and Johnny. Ricky is my chiropractor and close friend. She and I have become very close, and her husband Johnny. They told me for weeks on end that speech went over well because of the vernacular and the verbiage that was used. The play on words is what I used, which is probably it'd be borderline to tell over the air, so I can't do it.
So what's better? Is it better to give a heartfelt speech at something like that, or do you go more for the jokes?
It depends on the person. It depends. I think it really depends on the person and the couple. This one fit well. And basically, it was how her and I met. And chiropractor. She was my chiropractor, and I would bring in treats. And one of the things that I make are peanut butter protein balls. And we use with protein powder and oats and dark chocolate chips, so on and so forth. And so we went on to discussing how she basically enjoys having these treats. I'll just say that I didn't say it this way. I said it obviously the funny way, but basically how she enjoys having these treats in her mouth, but they're called peanut butter balls. So you can take it from there and understand her.
Okay. I was like, the description of the story is terrible, right, for the speech, but okay. Yes. But you're trying to filter it.
Right. But
you're trying to filter it.
Okay, so going back real quick, the reason why with weddings these days and receptions, as a DJ from back in the day, and that's where I honed my craft, I become very critiqueful of the DJs.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
These guys aren't doing anything. They're not mixing anything. 100%. Where are the turntables?
The MC is terrible.
There's no energy. You're bringing down the whole house.
That's it.
Jerk.
What else?
Thanks to Battleborn Broadcast, Battleborn Injury Lawyers for hosting us here at the BBBBC. Give them a call. Offices is all over the valley. 766-1400. Griffin, good job. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're back tomorrow. Circa. Stadium Swim.